maybe it's not too big to fail.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. All week we've been reporting about the big trouble at CIT. It's a major lender to small and mid-sized businesses. It's been trying to work out an assistance package from the government. But late yesterday, CIT announced it won't get any help from Treasury or from the FDIC, at least for now. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is here with us live this morning with an update. Good morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, Steve.
So what's the current situation of CIT?
Well, CIT's been saying all along that if it didn't get help with its liquidity crisis, that means it needs a lot of cash, it would have to, quote, evaluate alternatives. And that translates probably as bankruptcy. The bank's given its current debt holders 24 hours to come up with the $2 billion it needs. But, Steve, on Tuesday, Treasury did a flash stress test on this bank, like was done on the nation's biggest banks, and it found it probably needs $4 billion to ride out the recession.
Wow. And you mentioned these stress tests that were done on the big national banks. I mean, we're talking Wells Fargo and Chase and the others. Isn't CIT Group in that league as well?
Well, you know, it's not. And this is one of the things that makes this case so interesting. In terms of its importance in the financial system, CIT's just not that important. Other banks aren't going to fail if CIT goes under, the way the whole system reeled when, say, Lehman Brothers collapsed. And that's why the government's been reluctant to step in and save it. It's just not too big to fail.
But CIT's failure would still be a big problem, right?
Right, definitely. It's the country's biggest SBA loan lender. It has a million business customers, finances clothing manufacturers, and it provides credit to retailers. Basically, CIT isn't part of the foundation of our economy. It's more like a really big cog in the machinery. If it freezes up, a lot of the workings are going to get mucked up. It's a headache, but it's probably not an all-out catastrophe.
All right. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joining us live this morning. Mitchell, thanks.
My pleasure, Steve.
All right. Despite the CIT struggle, there was quite the buying mood on Wall Street yesterday. The S&P 500 added 3%. So did the Dow to close at 86.16. It was up more than 250 points. NASDAQ shot up 3.5%. Asian markets had slight gains today. European stocks are up, or mixed, I should say, mostly flat. President Obama's stumping in New Jersey today for Democratic Governor John Corzine. The former Goldman Sachs CEO is facing a tough re-election battle in the Garden State. Yeah, you heard me right. He was once the leader of Goldman Sachs, and that's not exactly helping Corzine in the popularity department. Here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
Last time John Corzine ran for governor, it was 2005. Being a former Wall Street guy was kind of an asset. My, how things have changed.
Governor John S. Corzine's reputation as a supposed financial wizard is officially dead. It will take more than a recovery to get New Jersey back on track. It will take a new governor.
That's an ad from Corzine's Republican opponent, former U.S. Attorney Chris Christie. Christie's running a standard anti-incumbent pro-tax cut campaign. Steve Adubato is a veteran political analyst and author of What Were They Thinking? He says Christie's campaign is echoing concerns a lot of New Jerseyans now have about Governor Corzine.
Hey, wait a minute. If you're that good, who cares what the economy's like? That's why we hired you, because you could get us out of this. Well, you don't have the luxury when you're a candidate for re-election to say, could you be patient with me? Doesn't work that way.
New Jersey's unemployment rate is 8.8%, far from the worst in the nation. But state residents pay the highest property taxes in the country, at more than 6%. And the state is facing a budget deficit of as much as $10 billion.
You know, it's like when you live in New Jersey, our slogan should be, at least we're not California.
Adubato says Chris Christie hasn't presented much of an economic plan himself. But if things get worse between now and November, he may not have to. I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
American Public Media presents the Marketplace Whiteboard, videos unwrapping the basics of the financial crisis. You can watch them anytime at marketplace.org.
We've known it for 3.5 decades as the Sears Tower, but today it has a new name, Willis Tower, after a British insurance company that's leased a bunch of space inside. There's another perhaps more significant change on the way there, a big $350 million green makeover. From Chicago Public Radio, Adrian Hill reports.
Chicago's Sears, soon-to-be Willis Tower, is an icon on the Chicago skyline, and its owners also want to make it a symbol of environmental sustainability. John Houston is one of the building's co-owners. He takes me out onto the roof of the 90th floor.
We're looking over at Lake Michigan to the east here, and right in front of us is the beginnings of a green roof.
Red, white, and green plants fill out a test planter box. The plan is to cover the entire area with similar plants to help cool the building in summer. But the roof isn't where the big energy savings will come from. That'll be from changing out the building's mechanical systems and replacing its exterior, including each of the 16,000 windows.
It's interesting what happens when you walk into a window vendor. When you say, we're interested in ordering 16,000 windows, you get a different level of attention.
Houston and his partners are hoping to pay for the makeover with public and private money. They declined to discuss amounts. The Sears Tower isn't the only skyline marvel set to get an environmental redo. The Empire State Building in New York City has announced a more modest $20 million overhaul. They're the sort of projects that can make environmentalists feel all fuzzy inside.
The potential that they represent as icons is really the potential of our country to rebuild itself in this green way.
That's Scott Horst from the U.S. Green Building Council. He says greening iconic buildings like Sears Tower and the Empire State Building could inspire other business owners to do the same. But these projects aren't just about doing good. They also make business sense, according to Melissa Pionic with commercial real estate company C.B. Richard Ellis.
With the way the economy has gone in the last couple of years and recently, buildings are really looking for a way to stand out in the world of leasing from their neighbor.
Pionic says environmentally efficient buildings often have lower operating costs for tenants, which is a lot easier on the bottom line. In Chicago, I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
Have thoughts on the new name or the makeover? Check us out and share your thoughts at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.